Hi, everyone. I just want to take a moment and look at you, which is really creepy, but truth be told, you all here today is one of my dreams come true. I'm going to tell you a little bit about me and my story and what this place means to me and what you all mean to me. It would be totally remiss of me to say that my story starts with me. My story starts with a woman named Xiaorong Hao. In 1991, there was this beautiful woman. Her name was Xiaorong. She had a son. She was living in Gansu, China, in a huge city called Lanzhou. In China, at the time, they had the one-child policy. So her family was really restricted by that. Well, China is also an honor and shame-based culture. So when her husband left her, that meant that she became a shamed woman. She had to move back home and lost many of the benefits of just regular daily life. At the same time, in Minnesota, there was a man named Michael Valentine, and he was a war veteran from the Vietnam War. He was an alcoholic, but he was also a physician's assistant who happened to work with Xiaorong's little brother. They met, they became friends, and as you do when you become friends with your coworkers, you share photos. And of course, he saw this photograph of this beautiful woman and asked, "What's her story?" When he found out that she was single, he showed his interest and decided to write letters back and forth with my grandparents. Throughout that time, a marriage was arranged. To my Chinese family, this was a way of restoring honor to the family, because if you're unaware, in China, to come to the US, to be connected to a white American was the highest of high. So, Michael sold all of his things except for a cabin on Wall Lake, located right out here, Fergus Falls, and he boarded a plane and he landed in China. Well, my mom and my grandparents went to go meet them, and when they picked him up, they introduced him to my mom as, "This is your new husband." This was her first time ever even hearing the name Michael Valentine. Being the dutiful woman that she was, she married him, and fortunately, unfortunately, I was conceived. Now, when I tell you that China had the one-child policy, that was their form of population control. And if you're unaware, they planned, they encouraged, and they forced abortions. So once my conception was recognized, and the illegal act was found out, an abortion date was scheduled. I was the only blood child that Michael had ever contributed to. So he wanted me. He wanted his child. And he came back to the United States to this one-bedroom cabin on Wall Lake, and he moved mountains. Paperwork upon paperwork, advocacy upon advocacy, and just in February of 1992, 10 days before my abortion date, my mother and my brother landed on US soil in Fargo, North Dakota, and 6 months later, I was born. I tell you this story because planets had to align for me to be here. And it's quite a miracle that Fergus Falls, of all places, is where we landed. My story doesn't end there. A few years later, my dad passed away, and my mother, being this non-English speaking immigrant woman, met these beautiful ladies, Nancy and Janet. They were these public health nurses. And not only did they teach my mom English, they care took for me and my brother when my mom needed to go do things. They helped my mom to buy a house to escape an abusive relationship, and they taught her the economic systems of the United States. They knew what it was to come around someone and not just wish them well or give them a prayer. They radically acted through radical lateral nurturing. I grew up in Fergus Falls. I love this community, but this community has not always loved me. You know, there's a classmate of mine here from junior high and high school who can attest I was a weirdo. So on top of being Asian, and I was also neurodivergent. So what does it mean to try to fit in when there's no shapes that look like you? So I went off and I left and I came back and I thought things had changed. And they had, but not in the ways that I had wished for. And so when this pandemic hit and we had this cultural uprising, I saw the response to George Floyd. And a year later, when 8 women were murdered in spas in Atlanta, 6 of whom were of Asian descent, I looked to my community thinking, there's gonna be a response, there's gonna be some comfort, there's gonna be some understanding and compassion. And instead, people wondered why I gave a damn. Until Springboard, who honestly taught me a lot about being an artist, came out with an opportunity called Artists Respond, Equitable Rural Futures. And at that time, I was at the lowest of my lows. I've always struggled with mental health. I've always struggled with internalized racism. Ottertail County, as you can see, is majority white. And Fergus Falls, I just found out, is like, there's 58 Asians in Fergus Falls. My family counts for 5 of us. But when they came out with that opportunity, I saw this as a moment of, this is the time. I felt activated, and I realized I was very quiet throughout my upbringing, but this is my time to be an activist in the way that I could. I don't have the energy to stand at a protest. I'm very, well, at the time, I was very tired of the amount of organizations and volunteering efforts I was a part of. And so what could I do? I could paint. I decided to think about what is it that, if you know nothing about Chinese culture, you would recognize. And I guaranteed that everyone had at least been to some type of Chinese buffet. And so they've probably seen one of those little red placemats with the years and the zodiac. So I decided to use the 12 animals of the Chinese zodiac to tell my family's immigration story of coming from China to the US. I chose to use these symbols and attributions of Eastern origin to share stories with people that I cared deeply about but didn't understand me. And I so desperately wanted people to care that I reached out to as many galleries as possible and non-traditional institutions as well, asking, begging, pleading that they would show this body of work, that they would give a damn. And thanks to Springboard, they did. I was able to create this series. I was able to host an exhibition at the Ottertail County Historical Society to kick it off and facilitate a listening circle where 2 other Asian residents of Fergus Falls were able to actually just share their lived experience of being raised here. And you know what? 60 people came. And if you're a rural person, you know, like, that's a lot of people. Fast forward to today, that series is complete and it's hanging at the Cadets Galleries. And I've decided to title the exhibition Legacy Amendment because I realize at this point in time, that series was the legacy that I inherited. Yes, I'm a part of it. Yes, my scroll hangs amongst the rest. But what is my contribution to this? What is my amendment to the legacy that I was given, that I inherited? And it's quite abstract. I'm in a period of life where I'm starting to recognize that I can't do things the way things were done. Like, literally, I can't. It's not possible. And so, simply by choosing to be here, choosing to show up in the ways that allow my energy to flow and to be refilled, means that I have to be surrounded by people that also pour into me. I learned leadership through, yes, Springboard, I worked there for a little bit, but also the Department of Public Transformation through this compassionate leadership of Hannah Holman. Throughout the time of that series touring, I went through the highs and the lows and the highs and the lows, and each step of the way, Hannah met me where I was at. Today, I'm the executive director of the Kadetz Galleries, and I have no idea how the hell that happened. But because of that radical lateral nurturing that I've received from the community of organizers before you, I feel grounded in my approach. I feel like I can do this, but not because I'm ready to lead a charge or change things with a spear. I'm just ready to show up in my very sentimental ways, sharing my story very earnestly and honestly, and listen deeply. I keep saying the phrase radical lateral nurturing because that's something that was coined by Penny Kegagabi, one of our rural regenerators in cohort 2, who is not here today, but I want to bring her in this room. She is just the epitome of what it means to be radically nurturing. And when I think about the whole theme of this summit, a tender rebellion, I want to thank you all for contributing to this work, to being change makers in your own way, to being willing to listen deeply, feel deeply, and express wholly. We are the tender rebellion, and I thank you for being a part of this.